Castillo was silent for a moment. Then he said, "Just for the record,
I'll have."
"Go on." "I was going to split a hair. My people at Shangri-La were not all special forces. It was not an SF unit that was sent here. I don't think, whatever the legalities, that anyone will believe that. That's what I decided. And the people who came here now to rescue Timmons are bona fide special forces. They are already here. Just about all of them. And the helicopter pilots are from the 160th, the Special Operations Aviation Regiment."
"And the helicopters too, presumably?"
"No. I got the helicopters from a graveyard. By the time they get here, they'll be cleaned and black."
"Cleaned and black?"
Ordonez parroted. "Anything that could indicate they belong to the U.S. Army will be removed, and they'll be painted in the color scheme used by the Argentine Army. They'll be more or less identical to the Hueys the Argentines are flying. And if nothing goes wrong and you manage to rescue your man without murdering everyone who ever so much as talked to the narcos, how do you plan to get your men and the helicopters out of Argentina or Paraguay?" If he's not going to let me use Shangri-La to bring the choppers in, Castillo thought, what the hell does he care about the details of what's not to happen? What the hell is he hinting at? "The men will leave the same way they came in, as tourists. I haven't given much thought to the helicopters."
"You aren't planning on flying them back to where they came from?"
"The field from which they will have been flown into Uruguay is an aircraft carrier, the USS Ronald Reagan. By the time I can get Timmons back, it will have sailed around Cape Horn and be halfway up the Pacific coast of Valparaiso, Chile."
"So?"
"I understand some of the lakes in Argentina are very deep."
"You're not suggesting that you intend to sink four helicopters in an Argentine lake?"
What the hell's going on here? Why the curiosity? And it's damn sure not idle curiosity. "What else would you suggest I do with them? I can't just leave them in a field somewhere, or, for that matter, destroy them, torch them. They have to disappear. My orders are to come down here quietly, get Timmons back quietly, and leave quietly."
"Tell me, Coronel, are helicopters of this type readily available on the commercial market?"
"Sure.
But wouldn't there be some means of tracing their history all the way back to the factory?"
"The communists captured several hundred of them when Vietnam fell. Many of those have appeared at various places around the world." Ordonez nodded and asked,
"Involved with criminal activity of some sort?"
Castillo nodded.
"I'll be a son of a bitch. Does Mr. Clean, who Munz warned me was above taking a bribe, want my birds?"
Confirmation of that wild theory came immediately.
"It would then be credible if your helicopters somehow made their way to a field somewhere in Uruguay for me to find them and announce that they probably had been in the use of drug dealers. Criminals who arrived at the field to refuel them found no fuel and had to abandon them.
Whereupon they would enter the service of the Policía Nacional?" Castillo said. Ordonez nodded, then asked,
"Parts would be available for them?"
"Ordonez, if you let me refuel the choppers at Shangri-La, I'll fly them anywhere in Uruguay you say when I'm finished with my operation, even if I have to fly them there myself." When Ordonez didn't immediately reply, Castillo added, "And I will get you all the parts you need for them, either through government channels or black."
This black would be better, Ordonez said. "It would continue to keep Ambassador McGrory out of the picture. Also, it would be better if you had someone other than yourself bring them back into Uruguay, Coronel."
"Then we have a deal?" Ordonez nodded, and exhaled audibly. "But let me clarify it, Coronel. I don't think it's quite what you are thinking. You haven't bribed me with a gift of helicopters for which you will no longer have a need, and which, in fact, give you a disposal problem. What they represent is a sugar pill for me to accompany the bitter one I have to swallow, that of assisting you in an operation which is really none of my business, and which, I am really afraid, is going to end in a disaster. I realized that I was going to have to help you, not because I want to, but because I have no choice but to hope, even pray, that you are successful. Your failure would be a disaster for me. Do we understand each other?" Castillo nodded. Ordóñez went on. "You mentioned the buquebus. Why don't you fly back to Buenos Aires?" Castillo pointed at Max, who was lying beside him with his head between his paws, and said, "Jung told me that taking him on Austral or Aerolíneas would be very difficult." Ordóñez considered that, then said, "And even if I helped you overcome the difficulties, it would still attract attention. Let me make a suggestion. If you could arrange to have someone meet you at a customs house at the International Bridge at Freventos, Gualeguaychú, I'll fly you there in one of the Policía Nacional Hueys. We have 4 very old ones, 2 of which are flyable. It will perhaps make you understand why I am so interested in yours."
"That's very kind of you, José," Munt said.
"You, Alfredo, and your animal. Anyone else?"
"My communicator."
"Give me an hour to set it up," Ordóñez said. "Call me when you're ready to go."
He stood up.
"I presume Alfredo will keep me advised of what's happening."
Castillo nodded.
"Thank you for your hospitality," Ordóñez said, offering Castillo his hand. He embraced Munz, went through the hug and kiss rite, and walked out of the room.